Harvest Messages are brought to you by Harvest Partners. To receive free email daily devotions or to become a Harvest Partner, please visit us online at harvest.org.
I'm excited to get back into God's Word with you tonight. And so hopefully you got your Bible. This was a great study that we got into this week on the topic of prayer. As you know, we are launching a new direction here. We were looking at the life of David, but tonight we're starting this new master class on prayer. How to be believers that are active in prayer. How to have an effective prayer life. Now, I don't know about you, but do you have these friends in your life where you text them on a regular basis? Let's just say you're talking on the phone, and then you shoot them a text message, and it like goes radio silent. You know, they don't send a text back. You're like, what in the heck's going on? You know, like, I was just talking to you on the phone. How come you're not? And you send them another text, you kind of like send the same thing again. Hey, you there? Nothing. It even shows that they read it. Have you seen that there's a little red receipt? Then they frustrate you. You're like, hey, you read it. What are you doing? You know, and then my family, what they'll do, because I'm actually the worst one at it, and so I'm talking about myself right now. My mom or my dad or my wife, she'll like send like question marks, you know? So it'll be like question mark, question mark, question mark, question mark. You know, then arrows pointing to the question marks. You know, then emojis and then memes. And then it's a call. What, are you ignoring me? What's going on? And it's like, no, I'm not ignoring you. Yes, I'm ignoring you. Have you ever like wondered or thought to yourself, is God ignoring me? Like, does he hear me? I'm praying, I'm talking to him, but is he receiving this heartfelt prayer? Or is it falling on deaf ears? And then you're like, God, question mark, question mark, question mark, are you listening? And you pray the same thing over and over again, and you're pleading before God, and you're wondering, God, are you there? Are you sleeping? Are you ignoring me? Did I do something wrong? Lord, just let me know. Anything will do, just good or bad, just tell me. Well, I want to help you see tonight that as believers, nothing can be further from the truth. God is listening to your prayers. It is one of the benefits that we as believers, that God listens to our prayers. God listens to you. It actually says in the Proverbs that God delights in the prayers of the upright. Now, what an incredible thing that the creator of the universe would delight to hear from you. The things that you've prayed in the quiet, in the secret that nobody else knows about, that you've cried without words but tears. And God is saying, I'm listening, I've been watching, I'm aware. Oh, prayer is something that we have as an opportunity. We get to talk to God, and God so graciously listens to us. Now, as you know, prayer is one of the things that all believers should be doing on a regular basis. It should be one of the things that you are maintaining because it is essential in your relationship with God. It is, you know, essential in your communication with him that you not only are reading your Bible, where God is talking to you, but where you are actively, daily talking to the Lord and you're taking your requests before him. All relationships require good and continual, but communication. You know, this goes with my wife. This goes with my relationships. I mean, how many of you have like a really close friend, a best friend? Like, how often do you talk to that best friend? Probably daily. You know, you're texting them daily or calling them daily. You met up with them the other day. And, you know, guys, what we'll do is often guys will talk to each other like, you know, once every other day. Even best friends, you know, we can have like a 24-hour gap or we don't have to talk to each other and it's okay. Girls, on the other hand, like my wife, if she doesn't hear like within 24-hour time, you know, from somebody, she's like, oh my gosh, did something happen? Did I do something? Did I offend them? Are they upset at me? Oh, maybe, oh no, Jay, what happened? I'm like, babe, it's been like 5 hours. Like, it's okay. It's all right. Don't freak out. It's going to be okay. You know, girls definitely have a little more of a need when it comes to like communicating. But guys, you know, we can kind of take a back seat on it. It's all right. In your communication with God, this is something that needs to be on the regular, where you are often and regularly talking to the Lord. This is the foundation for a healthy relationship, is communication. Where it's not just surface level, walk in the door, how was your day? Fine, how was yours? Good, all right, talk to you later. Like, no. Good communication is something where it's heartfelt, where you're sharing not just the casual, but the real. the nitty-gritty, sometimes the good, the bad, and the ugly. Good communication is a foundation for any relationship out there. And as I've been saying, God is no different. God wants to speak to you, and he wants you to speak to him. And prayer is the way that we do that. We talk to God through prayer. Now, I would go so far to say that you are probably not a Christian if you never read your Bible and you never pray. Most of the Puritans would agree with me. That's what they've said, that Christians talk to God. And if you're not talking to God, then you're probably not a Christian. Now, these two ingredients, prayer and reading your Bible, are the lifeblood to knowing God. This is the secret. This is the blood in your spiritual veins. In knowing God is reading and praying. Reading and praying. These are like the baby steps, but yet they are essential in keeping you alive spiritually. Now, prayer is defined in its simplest as talking to God. If you did your homework this week, you kind of went through a little outline of what prayer is all about. And how prayer is just simply communicating, talking to the Lord. You can do it anywhere, at any time, you know, but it's not like you were, you know, hey, I was blowing up God's phone today. I was just shooting these little tweets, you know, these little texts. You know, prayer sometimes can be very casual, where you're having a good day and you're just kind of, hey, God, just want to say I love you. I appreciate you. You're driving and just kind of talking to the Lord. And prayer can be casual. And then other times prayer is like life and death. It's more like a wartime walkie-talkie where you're calling in the heavy guns. I'm under fire. Help, help. You know, like it's a life and death situation. But prayer, this conversing with God, it must exist in your life. And I want to ask you, are you a man or a woman of prayer? Do you talk to God on a regular basis, in a heartfelt way, where you're revealing what's going on in the depths of your soul, where you're saying, God, I need you. God, I want to talk to you more than anybody else on the planet. Lord, I want to talk to you. Does that describe your life here tonight? It should. You know, in prayer, it's one of those things that you can so easily neglect. Have you realized that? Like, I often read my Bible more than I pray. My wife is like a prayer warrior. She's insane. Like, that girl can pray, you know. But I read my Bible, you know, just kind of naturally. This is what I enjoy doing. I'm the one that needs help with praying. And I have found that unless I am purposeful in my prayer life, I find that it's neglected. And I find that it's not as strong as it should be. Well, tonight I wanted to help you potentially strengthen or deepen your prayer life, where the roots are going to go down deep and we're going to find that your walk with the Lord is going to flourish and grow. And that's what I'm hoping anyway tonight. The text that we're going to be going over is there in the book of Matthew. We are going to be looking in the book of Matthew for the next few weeks, Matthew chapter 6. There's something called the Lord's Prayer. And tonight we're going to do an overview of the topic of prayer. Really what I'm giving you tonight are the fundamentals, the prerequisites to an effective prayer life. Do you want to have an effective prayer life? Then this is what needs to happen. That's what I'm going to cover tonight. I think Jesus mentions these things here in the text, and I'm going to point them out to you as these undergirding type structures that hold up your life before God. And so as we read the text right now, we'll read it and then we're going to pray and ask that the Lord would work these things into our heart. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 5 through verse 13. Here was our text this week. It said, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may have them be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who's in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you need before you ask. In this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever." Father, tonight, as we look at your word, I do pray you would help us develop a true heart of devotion and a true sense of dependence in humility when we come to the topic of prayer. So, Lord, please help us see what the prerequisites are to an effective prayer life. We lift it to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so Melania Trump quoted that just a few days ago. Did you notice that on the news? I was actually pretty stoked by it. It was on Saturday that she was like down in Florida and she was at this little rally and she got up and she read the Lord's Prayer. And I was like, hey, when's the last time that happened? That's pretty sweet. But this text, I mean, it is a widely known prayer. You've got it in most of the major, you know, world religions. They know it. The Catholics know it. Obviously, Christians know it. This is something that has been widely used and also widely misunderstood. What I think here, what we're going to look at tonight, are going to be the things that are hidden beneath the surface that support this and help this become something in your life where prayer is more than just a ritual, more than just a religious thing, but something that is real, something that is heartfelt, something that's real deep. And so I think there are two ingredients that are mentioned here that make up an effective prayer life. And it's these two words, it's devotion and dependence. So the 2 points tonight are devotion and dependence. In devotion, I'm talking about your heart. And in your dependence, I'm talking about humility. So having the right type of heart when you're approaching prayer and being humble when you approach God in prayer. Those two ingredients are necessary for you to have an effective prayer life. Now, these truths, they go together. You know, and everything we learn in the few weeks are going to be proven, even with these 2 points here. And I'd say devotion and dependence are like a child. You know, I take my boy to Disneyland, and he's running around all day long, and eventually his little legs get tired. And so what he does is he runs over to me, and he's like, Dad, hold me. I'm like, all right, you beast, you weigh like 60 pounds. You know, you're going to wear me out. All right, get over here. And so I'll carry my son around. And so his devotion and dependence is my little boy running up to me, and he just kind of just jumps on me. You know, he trusts me. He's hanging on to me. He loves me. He nestles his head in my chest. This is devotion. It's the real heart. He's going, I love my dad, and I know my dad's going to hold me. Dependence is him clinging on, him not letting go, like, don't drop me, Dad. Okay, well, I got you. And so he's doing his part. He's knowing that his strength is done, and mine is going to pick up. And so he's knowing, I know him, he's my dad, I love him, and I know he's going to hold me. He's going to seek and hold and meet me in my need, and my dad is going to be the strength that I don't have, devotion and dependence. I want to show you these from our scriptures tonight and help you see that these things need to be active in your life. Now, this idea of devotion, heart, it's no shock to us that God knows your heart. It says in Jeremiah 17, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind. You can't fool God. Even when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, he said, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. He called them out. Having a heart that's right with God is the beginning step. And as you take that beginning step, what you find out is the wrong heart is so easily a regular thing. Where you find yourself thinking and feeling the wrong thing when you go to God in prayer. I want to show you 3 reasons why your prayers could be ineffective. 3 different hearts. The first heart that is ineffective, where maybe your prayers are heard but they're not answered, is if you have a wicked heart. Number 1, a wicked heart. And I would say his subtitle is Only God's Kids Are Heard. As you know, prayer is a privilege for the Christian only. I recently was talking to an atheist, and he's like, I talk to God all the time, but he never answers back. I'm like, that's because you're not his kid. He's like, what do you mean? I'm like, you're not in the fam. Like, you're not adopted in. Why would the Father listen to you? You don't know him. You don't respect him. And you're expecting like him, like a vending machine in the sky, to give you what you want? Oh, no, understand. If you have a wicked heart, you do not get the privilege to pray. You're like, well, Jason, show me a Bible text for that. John 9:31. God does not listen to the prayers of sinners. John 9:31. Like, okay, well, I put it like this. Imagine a random kid coming run up to you in the mall. A kid you've never seen before, a little child come running up to you and they demand $20 from you. You immediately be like, what in the world is this? You'd be looking around for the kid's parents. Like, no, I'm not going to give you money. Where's your parents? You know, we're going to go to the security office. You know, like, hey, the little kid's lost. Help this kid. And you're like, just give me money. Give me this. Like, I don't know. No, who are you? Get away from me. You know, like, you would not give in to this little child. It's not your own. Now, if your child came up to you and asked you for something, you would probably listen because it's your child. It's your little one. The idea here is that as believers, you know, all throughout this text, Jesus uses that word father. You have a heavenly father as a believer that you can go to. You're in the family. This is a privilege that we get to have, and God's kids are heard. Again, Proverbs 15:8, the Lord detests the sacrifice of the wicked, but the prayer of the upright is his delight. One of the blessings is that God lends his ear. He pays close attention. And the non-believer does not get this privilege. Number two, reason why maybe your prayer is ineffective would be you have the wrong heart. The wrong heart. Because your motives do matter. What are you thinking when you go to God in prayer? I mean, oftentimes it's hard for us to see what people are thinking when they come to us and ask us for things. Like, we can't see their motives. But God sees the motive of the heart. God sees what's going on in your mind when you're asking for those things. And that's why there in verse 5, Jesus says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues, the corners, yelling out that people would see them. And he says, assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. It's a wrong heart. They're like those people on the side of the street with the sign twirlers. You know, and it's saying like these people, they want to be seen. Look at me. Look how religious I am. It's a performance. He's saying, if you've got a performance heart, a wrong heart, wanting to be seen, God ain't listening. He ain't paying attention. He's letting that one go by. A wrong heart. I think another type of wrong heart here would be James 4:3. It's a heart of personal pleasure. So you not only want to be seen, but maybe you want some personal pleasure. And that's why you're praying with the wrong heart. James 4:3 says, and when you ask, you do not get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You're like, God, okay, listen, God, listen. The Powerball numbers, if you give them to me, I'll tithe. Like, serious, like maybe I'll give 12%, okay? It's like, it's a big week, you know? Like, God, give me that new ride. Give me the new Ferrari, you know? Lord, the beach house, the this. You know, all of a sudden, we become believers that, again, treat God like a vending machine. Like he's there to pamper us and give us things. And we go to him with this wrong heart, seeking selfish pleasure. And James says, he ain't listening. He's not paying attention to you. Don't you assume for a second you're going to get from the Lord, wanting things from him with the wrong heart. We have to ask ourselves, why am I asking for this request? Why am I praying this prayer? Am I wanting my will or God's will to be done? The third reason I see for ineffective prayers is a no heart whatsoever. No heart. Because you can't fool God. Verse 7, Jesus says, and when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words. You would think that the attention there goes with the repetitious prayer. And you're probably thinking of the Catholic tradition, praying prayers over and over and over again. But actually in the Greek, the emphasis is not the repetitious part. It's actually the vain part. Vain repetitions. It's okay to pray a prayer a few times over, going, God, I need you, God, I need you, God, I need you. I need you, God. If your heart's in it, that's okay. But it's the vain part. That word vain in the Greek literally means empty or void or meaningless. Flippant, just saying it over and over again with no real heart in it. And here he's saying, don't you assume for a second that you're going to be heard talking like that. If you have no heart in this, but empty, you're just going through the motions. You're on a treadmill expecting to get somewhere, but you're going nowhere. You're exerting a lot of energy, going nowhere. You're just going through the motions. It was John Bunyan that said, in prayer, it's better to have a heart without words than words without a heart. Oh, your heart matters when it comes to prayer. In the book of James, talking about no heart, he says, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalties as unsettled as the wave of the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. You have no heart, you have no trust, you have no care for God. You're just saying things with your lips. And God is saying, no, I see your heart. I see what's really going on there. And when it all boils down, God is after sincerity. It was Nicholas Sparks, a famous man, who said, I don't pray because it doesn't work. And I would question his heart. And so does God. Effective prayer demands a sincere heart. You can't fool God. He knows us all too well. So for these three reasons, I think our prayers can be ineffective. A wicked heart, no heart, a wrong heart. But there is a right heart. It was David that said, with all my heart, I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. It was David again. He said in Psalm 62, oh, my people, trust in him at all times. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. There is a sense in which you can have the right heart in prayer, going, God, your will, not my will. And God delights in hearing those prayers. So that's devotion. Point two now is dependence. Dependence and devotion go hand in hand. So you've got heart and now you've got humility. You've got my little boy hanging on to me because he loves me, but now you've got him clinging on, hanging on, knowing I will be his strength because he has run out of strength. Dependence. You're more prone to give the Lord your sincere heart as you become convinced of your need for him. You know, have you ever noticed in your life where there are seasons where it's more difficult to pray than others? Have you noticed that? Like, really think about it. You're like, oh yeah, I used to pray a lot back then, but I don't pray so much anymore. There was a time when I was constantly on my knees before the Lord, begging the Lord, crying before the Lord, seeking the Lord. But those days have changed. It's not quite like that anymore. And people make comments to me often, I need to work on my prayer life, Pastor. And this is what I say. The main reason why you have a hard time praying is because of how independent you think you are. The main reason why you have a hard time praying is because of how independent you think you are. I never say that out loud. I don't think that. I mean, I need God. I have never once said, Pastor, that I don't need God. Well, maybe you've not said it. But creeping in your heart is the subtle lie that you can do something without God. You can do your job without God. You can go through today without God. You can live the Christian life without his strength and his enabling. There's a subtle lie that creeps in where you all of a sudden become independent and your prayer life disappears. Prayer exists where dependent people live. If you're dependent on God, then you're going to talk to him. You're going to beg and you're going to seek and you're going to ask and you're going to knock. And this is normal. Now, to help you see how dependent you are, have you ever left your house and accidentally left your wallet at home? And you're like, oh no, my wallet. And you're at work and you have to bum some like $5 off of somebody to pay for lunch. Or even worse, have you ever left your cell phone at home? Oh, like back when I was in high school ministry, like teenagers almost die, okay, when they don't have their cell phone. They're like, I can't breathe. Oh, you know, I'm like, it's your phone. Give me a break, you know? Like, you realize how dependent you are on things, you know, when you leave them behind. And I promise you, when the bottom falls out, you're going to realize how dependent you are on God. When all of a sudden there's a little bit of uncertainty with your health, or all of a sudden there's a difficulty or something happens, we're reminded of how much we need the Lord. It is this independence, it's this I got this mentality, which has its root in pride. And we as believers are often proud. And God says, I resist the proud, which is a reason why he wouldn't be listening. Pride. Everything you have, Everything you are and everything you can do is because of God. You need him. I desperately need him. Humility is what drives us to prayer. I mean, look at the text here. In verse 5, verse 6 even down, I'm sorry, it says about the Father. It's describing this being bigger than you. When you go, you pray in your room, shut the door, and it says your Father who's in the secret place, he sees. You're praying to someone who sees even when you're in the secret. So the idea here is that God's big. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. He can see and is aware. In verse 8, it shows you how much he's aware. It says, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things that you have need of before you ask. Here's how dependent you need to realize you are. God knows and sees. And he's saying, look. God sees what you have need of before you ask. God knows your circumstance before you even open your mouth to ask for a request. He's saying, I got you. The Heavenly Father, he's got you. He knows what's going on. He sees. He hears. He's aware. Trust him. Over and over again in our text, it's pointing back to a majestic God that's in control. We have to realize that we're not God. And you don't want to be, by the way. You don't want to be the God of your own life. You're going to mess it up. God is good and in control. And so here we're seeing a Father that is ultimately aware. And then in verse 9, we're seeing how our eyes should be focused on this sovereign, in control God, our Father in heaven. Your name, your kingdom, your will. Verse 13, yours is the kingdom, the power, the glory forever. There's a sense in which we have to recognize that God is God and we are not, and we should humble ourselves before him. Going lower and lower, God, I need you. It's about you. God, I can't do this without you. And there's one person in my life that has been doing this on a regular basis, and she humbles me. It's my wifey. As I've already mentioned, she's a prayer warrior. I mean, this girl, she prays for everything. Like, she's genuinely humble before the Lord. And when she's driving, or today she made some like homemade barbecue sauce, and I'm like, babe, this tastes great. She's like, me and Jesus did it together. I'm like, all right, you know. And it's like before she bakes and before she takes a call, before she wakes up, when she rolls over and looks at me in the morning, she's like, oh Lord, help me, you know. Like, it's, she's constantly praying. She's a woman of humility, trusting in God. And my wife is constantly recognizing her need for God. 1 Corinthians 4:7, what do you have that God has not given you? And if everything you have is from God, why do you boast as though it were not a gift? Having a heart of humility, having a sense of devotion before the Lord, these are the ingredients that are needed for an effective prayer life to exist and to grow. Well, does that mean that I'm always going to get a yes to my prayers? No. God doesn't always answer. Actually, I'm thankful that God has not always answered my prayers with the affirmative. There are plenty of things that I remember praying for that, well, I'm so thankful that God did not say yes to. I'm just saying God will answer your prayers. That God will show you that he's paying attention. Because God does often answer in different ways. Sometimes it's a yes, sometimes it's a no. More than often, it's wait. Sometimes it's ask again, and again, and again, and trust, and rely, and let him take care of it. One of the major things that prayer does for the Christian is help align you with God and his will for your life. It says that the function of prayer is not to influence God, but rather to change the nature of the one who prays. You're getting back on the train tracks, back on God's will. God is in control, family. He's in control. He's sovereignly accomplishing his purposes in his creation, in his people, for his glory. And because God has the final word, it's important that we pray as Jesus taught his disciples. We pray with full heart and devotion and full humility saying, God, it's your kingdom, it's your will, it's your way, and I'm okay with that. Prayer is a gift that God has given to us. And it's something that changes our lives more than we realize. When your heart's in line with God's heart, your prayers are heard because your requests are according to his will. So prayer here in ending, prayer, what it does is it takes your heart and it aligns it with God's heart. And that's why in 1 John 5:14 it says, this is the confidence with which we have before him. If we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. You want to be heard of God? Pray according to his will. How do I pray according to his will? Have a heart of devotion and a heart of humility. And you will find yourself praying according to the will of God. Now, as our text here is encouraging us to pray, I wanted to end by giving you some simple practical tips to enhance your prayer life. So here's some tips that I've stolen from my wife because she's the prayer warrior. And I wanted to give them to you. I've applied these in my life to help my prayer life become more regular and more rich. And so because of what Jesus has done for us, remember, we can approach the throne boldly. Because of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, I can go to the Father and talk to him. Because I'm in the family, because Jesus, what he's done, now I can talk. Now I can plead. Now I can, oh Lord, I need you. And he delights to hear it. Okay, so the first thing that you should do is, one, have a devoted time of prayer every day. Every day, schedule a time to pray. Well, I like to be a little more casual with my prayer, Jason. I don't like to like structure things in. Yeah, then how often do you pray? Well, I pray for my food. Okay. Want a medal? You know, like, I mean, no, prayer is something a little more than just your food. Schedule time that you can pray. Find a quiet location to pray. I've got the worst ADD on the planet. If I hear a cricket, I'm done. You know, like I have to go get a quiet place. Jesus retreated away in the morning to a quiet place. There he prayed. I would encourage you to talk out loud when you pray. If you do it while driving, then you look like a crazy man, which is awesome. Talk out loud when you pray. That way you can hear yourself. I would say keep your eyes open. Keep your eyes open when you pray. When's the last time that you've walked outside and just looked at nature and at night looked at the stars and quoted scripture and just talked to the Lord with your eyes open? It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible to close your eyes when you pray. Did you know that? Okay, there's not like a Bible verse, thou shalt close your eyes when you pray. You can open your eyes. It's okay. Five, make a prayer list. Make a prayer list. I've heard of some really great ideas with this. I've heard of prayer Instagrams. I've heard of prayer cards. I've heard of like prayer bracelets. Some really great things. Number six, I would say speak from your heart. Even if it means that you're quiet and you have no words to say. God understands even just a groan. And then lastly, I would say keep an open Bible near you. Oftentimes when I'm praying and my Bible's open next to me, the Lord ministers to my heart. Keep an open Bible near you. Those 7 points I apply in my daily life and I find my prayer time to be so sweet, so rich. And so in maintaining a strong and vibrant prayer life, you will be a strong Christian, which in effect will strengthen those around you. So devotion and dependence, those are the two ingredients. And so this is the beginning for an authentic prayer life. So let's close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for tonight. God, this study through the book of Matthew on the topic of prayer, it became obvious to me in looking at the text that God, you require us to have the right heart when approaching you. That we would not be thinking wrong or assuming wrong with wrong motives, but that we would have a heart of sincerity, wholly dependent on you, because you are God and we are here on earth and we need you. And so, Lord, as we go into just our groups now, as we even just go in our work week, I just pray that, Lord, you would help us have a heart that yearns for you and that, Lord, you would minister to us in those quiet moments. So we thank you for this example and we're excited to learn more in the future. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.